characteristic of them. They came from backgrounds like that. Poorly educated, poor in the head and poor in the pocket. That's our background. But during the last 10 years of Elijah Muhammad's leadership among us, he did some wonderful things. He did a lot of wonderful things all along the road, but most people wouldn't understand that. We understand. But during the last years of his life, he did some really truly wonderful things. He demonstrated to us that he himself sincerely loved a man that he pointed to on stage, the platform during our annual convention. He pointed to him and he said, "This is a white man." We made it clear. But he expressed brotherhood with that man, paternal bonds with that man, and he expressed love for that man. Then he said, he turned to America, the machine of America, and he said, "If white people can respect you and treat you nice, you do the same." That's what he told us. Whatever person it is that wants to pick up the pad and say he's following my father, a leader until I became leader, I want to see him follow my father, not by going back to 1930 and 1940 and 1950 and 1960. I want to see him pick up where my father left off in 1973 and in 1974 and in 1974. For the high caliber of people that's now joining our ranks. We have many of them. I can't name them all. We have a person recently appointed to North Carolina senatorial. He's a senator. The state of Carolina. He's a senator. He's a state senator. He's a senator. I'm sorry. Representing the 41st senatorial district of the state of Carolina. He served 2 years in North Carolina in the House of Representatives. And in November of 96, he was elected senator for the state of North Carolina. His name is Larry Shaw. We have a councilman who's been very successful politically in one of our big cities of the United States. I don't want to share everything with you at this point. He told me at this convention that he's pretty sure that he's going to run for mayor. And I know him personally. He wouldn't run if he didn't think he could win. We have Muslim magistrates in Wisconsin. We have many, many Muslims now represented in the United States government and representing us in high places in the United States government. Many. You preachers, you indebted to me, you know. You couldn't make the money you put out before I became leader. You're chaplains now. You're chaplains. Paid by the government. You couldn't do that before I became leader. Where are you going to send me some money? could be candidates for the President of the United States and members of our association, but if they didn't have good character and hadn't proven to be believers in God and followers of our Prophet Muhammad, I wouldn't mention their name. These people I'm brought, Eric Shah is a genuine believer. Genuine believer. So it's the other that I refer to. Now, why is this religion attracting these people of this highest caliber? It's not us. We couldn't do it with no education. We have become more literate ourselves. We've become better educated. The leaders in our association now are better educated. We have a Harvard graduate, in our convener of our council right here in Cleveland, who runs a very fine school, preschool, elementary school, high school, and we'll have a two-year college very soon. What is attracting them? I'm proud of the state of Illinois for many reasons, but mostly because Illinois was one of the first states and one of the leading states in working hard for literacy, to raise the level of literacy in the state of Illinois and in the country. And I would think around the world. There's a march pretty soon. There will be the back will be October 4th. There'll be a walk, pardon me, not a march, a walk for literacy, a walk for literacy in Chicago. And I believe our mayor, Richard Daley, is going to lead that walk. I intend to join that walk. And I'm inviting the Muslims of Chicago to be with me. Let's join that walk for literacy. Literacy refers directly to what? The ability to read. The ability to read and understand what you're reading. The ability to pick up a piece of literature, or a piece of writing, print, and read it and understand what you're reading. That's literacy. We speak of get an education. God knew best how to help us get an education. The first word for revelation to Allah was not Solomon was going to be burned up. No, the first word of Solomon Gomorrah is going to be burned. The first word to our prophet was read. R-E-A-D. Read. In the name of the Lord who created. That's the first word of revelation to our prophet. So you want to really understand what Islam is in the world? It is the worldwide movement, a worldwide ideology, and a worldwide faith. And its purpose as a universal faith and as a universal mission, its purpose is to bring about maximize the good life of every human being. And how are we going to realize the maximum goal of goodness and excellence for the human life that God created without respecting knowledge, without trying to educate ourselves, without promoting higher levels of learning, higher levels of literacy? So the very first words from our prophet was read. And he replied, I'm not one who reads. And the tradition goes that he was again pressed by the angel, and the words from God came, read the second time. And he replied the second time, I am not one who reads. So he was pressed for the third time, And the word from God came, and he was able to read. Muhammad was reading ever since. Reading what? The sacred scripture. The universal message, the Quran. That's what he was reading. God taught him how to read the message of God so that he could give it and the scribes could write it down for all people for all time. That's what occurred. Read. But I repeat, there is a wisdom there that we are to learn. There is a message to be received and a wisdom to be learned, that people become educated by reading. Now it's not just by reading print. It's not just by reading handwriting. It's by reading the handwriting of the Creator, whose handwriting is in the stars, whose handwriting is in the weather and the climate. His handwriting, I'm coming from the Bible, you recognize what I'm telling you, his handwriting is every man. Everything that he has created is a script. And that's why the lies of the world, especially the things, I'm speaking of the Western world, they refer to the whole world of material as being newly birthed. One birth, meaning it came from one God. But inspired men, inspired by God, they were able to read on that. They were able to read the delicate script of creation itself. And finally, man moved from philosophy and from all the other attempts to know reality, the material reality, moved to become scientific. And now we have scientists reading the creation and telling us in the different disciplines of the sciences what they read out of creation. That's all they're doing. That's all their world of science is. It's the reading and interpretation of the messages in God's creation. Religions together. And I've only shared that with you to have you aware of my most important interaction on the global scene. The Council for Parliament of World Religions cherishes the belief, and I'm quoting their own document, cherishes the belief that interreligious encounter and understanding must play a critical role as our world makes the transition to the 21st century. Quoting their publication, the Council for Parliament of World Religions, we believe that our efforts will make a genuine contribution to the healing, the misunderstandings that have fueled the division, competition, mutual condemnation, and chronic violence which have shaped world history. It is our hope that by sharing our many traditions in the spirit of appreciation, we may realize the goals we hold in common. In a statement from the World Peace Council, we read on international interreligious initiatives expressed in their publication. The initiative is to encourage discussion and critique of a groundbreaking document called Global Ethics Society. To establish cooperative working relationships with international interreligious organizations now engaged in the effort to promote understanding of the ethical common ground of the world religion. I used to think that the Bible was a book that I shouldn't be interested in. My father used it a lot, but he didn't obligate me to follow his path. He told me, he said, son, I think you're going to be a teacher of the Quran. That's what he told me. So he didn't encourage me to read the Bible and follow his path of preaching. So I read the Quran as I got older. I became a young man, over 18 or so. I started reading the Quran very seriously to find direction, to find guidance and direction for us, for myself and for us, as a helper to my father, not to go against him, to help him. So anyway, finally, you know, I'm rejected by my father, following his guide. He's the one who told me to not accept everything that's on the surface. He's the one that told me to question the teachings that he gave us. He said, because the real meaning and the real understanding is not on the surface, you got to dig deep. He's the one that told me that. And I dig deep and deep and deep, and I found more and more problems. So I ended up giving it up. I told him I can't believe in this idea of God anymore. He questioned me about it. I didn't go to him with it. He came to me. Someone complained against me. So when he called me to question, the answer, I said, no, Daddy, I can't believe that that man is God. He called that W.E. Barad, or Barad Mama. I can't believe it. So he said, well, you know what that means, don't you, son? I said, yes, sir. Sure, I knew what it meant. You're excommunicated. The language for us in Islam, maybe Islam was, you're going to be put out. And that's exactly what it did. He put me out. And that meant you can't stay in the house with your parents. You can't even visit your mama. It was banishment, like the Old Testament. It was banishment. You couldn't visit your mama. You couldn't see your brother. If your brother and your own blood brother and sister was caught talking to you in the public or anywhere, they would be in trouble. They might be kicked out too. So during that time, I was very lonely. So I said, where did all this stuff come from that we got? I said, some of it is called lessons, like Catholic catechism. reading like the Catholic Catechism. Some of it is called actual fact. I said, what is this? I'm going to have to find out. So I wanted to find out. And I said, some of this looks like to me mythology. I said, some of it looks like really science. And some of it looks like to me tricks. I said, it must be a good intention behind all this, because so much good has been done. And so much good has been put in our box for us. So I said, it must be a good intent somewhere. So I began to want to find, what's the security of this stuff? All of the stuff I got now looks like a conglomeration of corruption. But I've got to believe that there's some purity somewhere. So I began to search for the purity. And I say, well, I'm going to go to the realm of thought. I'm at the realm of thought. I found a lot of information that helped me understand some of the things he was saying that was mythological. Then I said, well, I'm going to look at science. I've got to understand what he's saying when he's pretending to be speaking pure science. Pretending to be speaking pure science. So I searched that too. And I came up with what I believe is the purity in the teachings of the Almighty Allah that was given to him by Mr. Farrar. I came up with it. And I said, okay, that's what I want. Keep and throwing away all the corruption. I'm going to keep the light, throw away the darkness. I'm going to keep the healthy things and throw away the sick. All the sick things. So that's what I did. Now I did the same thing. That's what made me want to do the same thing with the Bible. I said, now I don't like this book, but look how many millions and millions of people believe in this book. And look how wonderful those people are. I know there are about that. I've met many wonderful people, Christians. So I said, this book has to have purity in it. So I read, I said, well, I'm not going to skip about in the book. I don't know how to find it. I said, I'm going to start from Genesis and go to Revelation. That's what I did. I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation as an outcast. A rejected member of the nation of Israel, a temple of Israel in America. I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I said, I'm not going to take time to try to interpret anything. Okay, that'll take me too long to read through the whole Bible. I said, I'm going to read through the whole Bible. So I refused. Temptation is strong to stop pondering on this. Stop and think about this. I just read it through. After I read it through the first time, I said, now I'm going to read it again from Genesis to Revelation. And I'm going to take notes. I'm going to ponder on it. I'm going to try to look into it. I'm going to try to get more out of it. And I did that. And the result is that I have gained a sacred respect for the Bible that I rejected and thought it was a whole lot of stuff that couldn't be made, no sense could be made of it. Now I understand it. I respect the purity of it. And I understand even my religion better now. Prophet Muhammad says, ask the people we call the Father. So ask the people of the book. Just take it, they didn't know anything about scripture. They hadn't received scripture before. I'm talking to the scholar here, my friend, too. They hadn't received scripture before. This is Quran. So they didn't know anything about scripture. They were pagan idol worshippers. So God revealed to Muhammad to tell them, if you don't understand this, or if you're in doubt, you don't trust Muhammad, that he had received scripture from God. Go ask the people who did receive scripture from God. You don't know how to judge. You never received any scripture from God. How can you judge? So go ask those who know. So I guess in a way I was an African-American king before I became a real Muslim. I must have been an African-American king. And without anybody telling me that, I just felt an urge to go and ask those who received scripture. But I didn't ask a person, a flesh and blood person. I went to that book. I picked up the Bible. And I said, there must be innocence here. There must be purity here. I'm going to read it without prejudice. And God blessed me to read it without prejudice. So you have friend and a brother in this man. I will defend Christianity with my life. If enemies of Christianity come against Christianity, I will follow Muhammad the Prophet, and I'll ask my people to help you defend Christianity with our lives and with our children's lives. There's an organization which is private. Religions Initiative. And is headed by Bishop Swing, S-W-I-N-G. And it developed really with out of the United Nations. It developed. The effort developed out of the United Nations, and Bishop Swing was selected to head up an effort to bring different faiths, different religious leaders together representing the various faiths in America to work for the same purpose, that WCRP is working for, the World Council of Religions, the Parliament of World Religions, and the World Peace Council, all of these organizations, Muslim Council, World Congress, all of these organizations, working for the same cause. And I want you to know, it's important to me that you know, that your little brother, I don't have a college degree, I have high school education, formal education, and a few hours credit in English, because I wanted to be able to read and speak better and understand literature better. So I took a few hours. One day I hope at 80, if God bless me with the life, I'm going to work to get a PhD. But I don't have that. But this little son of Elijah Muhammad is now an associate and a member of most of the organizations that are working for peace and better conditions in the world for all people. I'm a member. I'm a trustee. I sit at the table with them. I participate in the discussion. I'm invited to contribute to the decisions that they make. We are trying to get a shura. The Christians have already made me part of a shura, and it's working. So I hope you will make some more progress with your shura. All right, you have to. Organizations are working to have us participate in discussion on top leadership level, the highest leadership in the faith communities, and also on the grassroots level. Myself, I represent the grassroots. They want all levels of genuine, sincere leadership to come together to make this world a better world. To recognize the extraordinary opportunity afforded by the millennial movement, the year 2000. There's an effort by government and by the faith community to work for better human conditions on this earth and to see great progress realized by the year 2000. Concerns that we are discussing are how to increase respect for one another, a desire to know more about one another as members of different religions, how to promote more tolerance, religious tolerance, to get rid of a lot of the unfounded prejudices, how to contribute to conflict resolution, how to help promote a better education of the world and the religions, in service to mankind, in service to women, in service to children, in service to the poor, to relieve hunger, to bring relief from hunger, to preserve the ecological order of our world, to care about our environment, plants, animals, etc. To promote ethics and social justice. To work for spiritual renewal, where people will have their souls back in their hands and upright before God again. Our government is assisting the effort, and it's actually going out front to encourage this effort, all within the legal boundaries established by our Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, for interaction of government with the faith community. Our United States State Department, and I'm saying United States State Department because this is going to go overseas, and there'll be one in which State Department. You know, if I say State Department, that's enough for you, but overseas it won't be enough. Our United States State Department recently formed a 20-person committee representing the various religions and faiths of the faith community in the United States to enhance government efforts and to assist the faith community's efforts of promoting religious tolerance, peace building, conflict resolution, etc. The poor must be represented. That's my strong belief. We will never change the situation, the circumstances for the poor until the poor have leaders who will go and seek. Muhammad went to the mountains, didn't he? Muhammad was not formally educated. Muhammad was not formally educated, but Muhammad went to the mountains. That's a saying in America, you know, in the West. Did the mountain all come to Muhammad? Muhammad will go to the mountain. We know they might mean something else, but I'm giving you my interpretation of that. Muhammad, peace be upon him, he appealed to the established order. He appealed to those who had responsibility in their hands. He appealed to them, and he told them what he was all about, hoping that they would appreciate what God had missioned him on this earth to do. That's what he did. Well, we should follow Muhammad, and we should want to go and seek friendship and an opportunity to work with the establishment, the established leaders, the established leaders in government, the established leaders in politics, the established leaders in education, the established leaders in religion. We should seek ties with them, because after all, the weather up there affects us down here. And if we don't have an opportunity to get up there and be a part of making the weather, we're always going to have the weather we don't want. Now, they're not only accepting that we come up there, they're saying we've learned that you want to come up. Welcome. Carry on. Come up, up. Come on up. Brother Muhammad. That's what they're saying to me. Come on up, Brother Muhammad. Brother Deputy Muhammad. Come on up. I said to myself, how can we change these circumstances and make a road in this America for ourselves so we can get to our destiny as citizens and as Muslims? But how can we do that without working with good, sincere people in the leadership and the establishment? I said, we can't do it. So I made up my mind. I'm going to work hard to reach those people way up there in the sky. And God blessed me to reach them. I reached them. And they said, welcome at the table in the sky. And because of that, now we are attracting more people with more resources. People who have more resources. Last evening, the convention was awarding Brother Larry Shaw, Senator Larry Shaw of North Carolina, and others. When they presented him his award, the plaque, they told him that there's $2,000 that goes along with this plaque. He turned around and said, give that to the ministry of W.D. Muhammad. Took our account to a bank in Rialto, California. I was living in California for about 3 years. So I moved the office temporarily there. And I took our money there and opened an account. And when the teller started looking at those checks, 100, 200, 300, 50, 500, she said to me, I work for a salary. See, who's just giving you money like this? $500, $300 in one walk. I said, I changed my mind. I don't want to open an account here. In my hand, I walked out. But I like to let the comments walk. Larry Shaw, we thank Allah for you, that you are a member of this association. And we have to work to dignify ourselves some more. Prophet Muhammad said that one of the main purposes God sent him was to promote better character in people. To promote better character in people. So you want to have more, you have to improve your character. And the Prophet says the Muslim is one who has good manners and loves good manners in people. Let's promote good manners. Don't leave your manners baggage at home and go out the street without it. Come to the temple of the mosque without it. Carry your good manners everywhere you go. Have it when you're facing your Muslim brother. Have it in your relationship with your Muslim brother. Have your baggage of the best manner with you when you're interacting with Christians and Jews or even atheists. You don't put down your good manners for any situation. Keep your good manners with you at all times. And I guarantee you, if you do that, God is going to be with you and love you. God loves good character. God loves good manners. This is the teaching of Islam. God loves good character. God loves good manners. And he will love you for it, and he will improve your circumstances. God will improve your circumstances. So I can say to you now that the poor is now no longer without a representative on the mountain or at the table in the sky. There was an article that recently appeared in September issue this year, 1997, in Harper's Magazine. And I want to share this with you. Because the poor, sometimes I think we don't even understand our own problem. Or we can't identify our own problem. We need help to identify our own problem. This article said many things, but I'm trying to cut the time, because the time is really very short. We have to conclude in a few minutes. pointed to problems of the poor, said there are numerous forces, I'm quoting now, numerous forces, hunger, isolation, illness, bad landlords, bad police, self-abuse, abuse, neighbors, drugs, criminals, racism, all these things are to be seen in the Bible. See, all of these things make up, quote, a surround of force. A surround of force. The writer doesn't say this, but I'm saying this to further explain. This surround of force of drugs, alcoholism, violence, criminal behavior, racism, etc. This surround of force contains your best motives, your best life, your best energy, your best intentions, all muffled out, cramped, choked out of existence by all of these problems that we can't seem to understand. And we'll look at a white man and blame all those problems on a white man. And we'll start a movement. Now, all our problem is racism. All our problem is the white people who will never accept us, don't love us, don't want us, and will never accept us as their equals or as equal citizens. We'll start a movement and convert many African Americans to believe in them and follow them. We have to be more rational, more sensible, more truthful, more innocent to find our way out of our bad circumstances. This writer goes on to say that he sees the problem as a political. It's political, he says. And I quote political, it's political. But he says political, and he says it's not political in the sense of voting in an election, but political in the way Thucydides used the word. Then he explains this. To mean activity with other people at every level. At every level. So we are the striving poor. I would like to think of those who are in our association as African Americans who wanted to be separate, not because they wouldn't want to be together with whites and others if circumstances were different, but who wanted to be separate because of circumstances during the time of plantation Jim Crow life, two laws in this country, segregation in the United States. So we didn't have any DuBois as our follower, as our need to follow. We didn't have a learned, educated person who believed that the process will work, the system will work. We just have to have patience and keep working for more freedom, more opportunity. We didn't have such person leading us. We had a person who suffered as we suffered, who was denied as we were denied, who were culturally denied and uneducated and poor in the pocket as we were, leading us. So that person didn't see any opportunity down the road. Didn't have anything to stand upon to believe that there was injustice or inequality coming down the road. So that person says, I believe in Farad. I believe in Mr. Farad. Let's separate from the white man. Let's not have any more faith in the future with the white man. Let us have our separate state. Let us have our separate nation. Out of that following came what we have today. And now we believe in the future. Now we believe we can have a good future in America. But we've gained a lot from that experience. We've gained a lot from that experience. We don't want people doing everything for us. We don't want to just have rich blacks among us. We don't want to just have wealthy African Americans. We want to have a community in our hands. That's our responsibility. That's our responsibility. We want to have a neighborhood. That's our responsibility. And if it's blighted, we want to remove the blight from it. About 15 years ago, almost ago, I came up with a concept to put a lot of us to work who didn't have work. I said, the government doesn't have to pay us, our dignity walks in. So we started a group called the Blight Arrest.